Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We are ending this week with another chat by the fireside, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Gregory Denation in part 35 of Understanding the Times.
When you actually enter into Sabbath rest, that's when the Lord comes and brings everything to completion without all other funny little things happening.
So that brings me to my next question. What exactly can we look forward to after Revelation?
The new heavens and the new earth. And even there, if you look at chapter 22, how it's unfolded there, you will see that it's the stage that is set with the decor. And this is supposed to give you the best impression you could ever get, the highest level of human communication to convey this. We just don't have the words. We just don't have the vocabulary. We just don't have the form of expression because it's way above and beyond anything we could imagine. Just have a look at this. Verse 1 of chapter 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Now, what is that like? What's it like, this river of the water of life? Is it bubbling? Is it crystal clear? Does it sparkle with light? What is it like? It's clear as crystal. It flows from the throne of God. We have never seen anything like that. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. So it's not even restricted by seasonal appearance. It's there all the time, bearing fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. What's it like to have no disease, no illness, no shortcomings, no failures, no delinquency, and no physical impediment, crippleness, and stuff like that? No, not challenged in any way. There will be no curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will see him. They will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Not meaning extra years added on, because time will be no more. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Can you imagine that statement alone in this fluid, shifty, shaky, uncertain time where there is no truth?
Yes.
You know, no absolute truth at all. Everything is irrelevant.
It's personal truth now.
Yeah. Now, he says, behold, verse 7, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the word of this prophecy. He says in verse 14, blessed are those... Well, he says, first says in verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. He says it. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Just prior to this, in chapter 21, John already says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, because the sea in Revelation is symbolic of what is wicked, whatever cooks up that is evil. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And by the way, that is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, where God said to him, I will be your God, and you will be my sons and daughters. Your descendants will be as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's so interesting how that the big call today is on the new world order.
Yes.
Almost as if the enemy is wanting to provide that as a substitute for the new order that God is going to bring.
Yeah, I say to people all the time, if you look deeply enough into all the agendas that the world is trying to force on us, and they are literally taking biblical principles and twisting them and repackaging them for a man-centered kind of outlook. But it really is them just using the Bible's blueprint and subverting it and perverting it to twist it to meet their own evil end game.
Yes.
For me, it's a blessing just knowing, and I say this to people that don't believe in God all the time, our entire system is based on Jesus being the center, whether you're an atheist or not.
Yeah.
Before death, after death, the 7-day work week.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all beautiful things that everyone can see every single day.
Yeah.
And know that that is because Jesus actually did live, he did die, and he did rise again, and he is coming again.
And he's the bread of life, and that's why you fellowship, you eat of him, so to say, symbolically speaking, then you live.
Yes.
There's one thing that I just wanted to touch on, because I think there was a question in that regard. Why do we say that God is going to deal with the world in the same way that they dealt with his son? And that is grounded in Zechariah. It's important to notice or to take note that John had not invented any truth at all. He was steeped in Old Testament theology. He was absolutely, totally saturated. And you see so much of Old Testament theology coming through. I mean, we just referenced the Abrahamic covenant now, and how that you see the very last words. It was God was saying, I have kept my promise. You will see that in Zechariah, elements from Zechariah surface very clearly in the book of Revelation. The Lord Almighty says in verse 4, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. This is now a community, this is society. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. You find this coming out over and over in the scenes in the book of Revelation, that in spite of all of this happening to the people, they still did not turn from their wicked ways. They will behave like that almost by principle. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, says the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? In other words, they perished, they disappeared, but my words still remained. Mm. Then they repented and said, and this is important, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. So built on that now, and we see how the time period unfolds in the book of Revelation, they will do, God will act in this world exactly the way that they acted towards his son. Let me explain. When the Lord Jesus lived on earth, he lived for a time of 33 years. During the 33 years, there were the 30 years roughly, 29 years, 6 months, the quiet years, as he grew up and was obedient to his parents, and a few little things that we know about. But he existed, and there was not much conflict. There was not much trouble. Then at the age of 29 years, 6 months, which was then legitimate for him to appear as a prophet, he went to John the Baptist, where John was baptizing, and he was baptized. The Spirit of God came down upon him in the form of a dove. So that was really the beginning. He was now launched out. John became less, and he became more. And shortly after that, you saw the intensity escalating. you saw the hostilities increasing. And for a period of about 3.5 years, he witnessed. He was like the two witnesses in chapter 11 of Revelation that proclaimed it. Who were the two witnesses? The law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared there, the two witnesses. They faded away. He came to the forefront. He is the Word of God. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. What did they do to him? They firstly attacked him. Then they overpowered him. Then they killed him. And then for those 3 days, he was in the grave. Then he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. We read that in chapter 11. It's spelled out what happened to the two witnesses. So, you have a long period of roughly 3.5 years, symbolically expressed, followed by a short period, 3.5 days, followed by a final hour, which is the judgment of God. And that is the pattern that God is going to use to deal with this world. So he's dealing with this world exactly in the same way that they had dealt with his son. And the question is, what do we do then if God is going to do that? We have to follow the guidelines exactly as it was expressed in the book of Revelation. Just to put, in case there's maybe some confusion and maybe I went too fast on that, if you check at chapter 11, which is the end of the first act, chapter 1 to chapter 11 is the first act. At the end of the first act, John says in verse 1, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshippers there. That's the faith community. They were to be measured. But then we read the outer courts, verse 2, should not be measured because it has been given to the Gentiles. So the outer courts actually surround the inner court. So here you have this hostile majority surrounding this threatened, weak, in a certain sense, minority. And they trample on the holy things. It says there, it has been given to the Gentiles, last part of verse 2, they will trample on the holy city for 42 months. Now that's 3.5 years. That was the time that the Lord Jesus spent actively in ministry. And then he says, I will give power to my two witnesses, that's Moses and Elijah, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Exactly the same period. So during the period that the Romans, so to say, if you stick with the context, trample on Jerusalem, for the same period that they trample on Jerusalem would be this period that the two witnesses will be proclaiming. And that's the 2 years of Jesus's public ministry. And then it says, after explaining who they are, when they, verse 7, that finish their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, not years, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies. That was when he was in the grave. And then we read in verse 11, after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them. They stood on their feet. Terror struck those who saw them. And then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud where the enemies looked on. So you can see that's the whole sequence of events that unfolded when Jesus was on earth. And God is going to deal with the world in that way. There will be a long period of time where the Christian gospel will be proclaimed. There will be a short period of time of great tribulation and antagonism towards the church, and then there'll be the final hour when he concludes all of that. I think our time has run out, so unfortunately that's all we could do at this stage. Thank you folks for listening, and thank you for being with us, Vaughan.
Thank you very much, Pastor Greg. Always enlightening joining you with these discussions.
That was part 35 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through again, go to the Iona FM and search for Thinking It Through, or download the free GNCR app from the App Store and go to podcasts. Join us next week for the part 36 of the Fireside Chat. Till then, have a great weekend.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.